Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Todd Pena, some more football here on this Total Request Thursday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney. Vinny's writer, Nolan McGraw. On the other side of the glass, John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday talking about various things, including his team in totality. But training camp is over. It's all about the season, regular season, that is. John was asked about his assessment of training camp 25.
Really happy with camp. You know, you see the ice cream truck out there. Oh. It's a small reward for the work these guys put in. The level of work, the work capacity that was put forth. We monitor, we keep track of that stuff. And I'm just proud of the way these guys do it. I think we've made the most of the effort, had the best training camp we could have. We've traveled just as far as we could travel in training camp. Now it's time to start the next part of the journey, which is the regular season. So this was kind of an opportunity this week to tie some things together and get ready for the season.
Was that Mr. Softy in the background?
Yeah.
Anyway, you were there a lot, Vinny.
Yeah, I.
What do you think? Training
Bob,
camp
they
25.
Worked their ass off. I mean, when they were on the field, the guys who were out there, they worked. And Bob, we had, 10 days when it was hot as hell. And they went right through it. And, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they were out there in the heat. And if they were supposed to practice 2 hours, they were practicing 2 hours. They did not stop from the heat. And they worked. They worked. So yeah, I would agree with Harbs that it was a good camp, and the best thing is basically the only one out is Likely, you know. So it's a pretty healthy camp, I would say.
Now Snoop Huntley's back. Tyler Huntley bounced around a couple of teams since he left Baltimore a couple of years back, but signed to the practice squad. John Harbaugh explains that decision.
I think one thing that's pretty interesting when you watch Tyler, and I've been watching his games on tape, you see the growth, you know, and he's had to travel a journey. You know, it's been a hard road for Tyler, but that's how you grow, right? You know, the scars are stronger than the other parts of the bone, and he's had his bones broken, so to speak, a little bit, and bounced back and competed. And I see him out here today. He looks really good, you know, and I think it makes our team stronger to have him in that spot.
Oh, it definitely makes him stronger, you know, because with Leary out there, you never knew what you were going to get. So they have three quarterbacks now, two backup quarterbacks that have won games in the National Football League. And the nice part about it is going and getting him is he knows the system, so it's an easy transition for him. And is he better than Leary? Absolutely.
Light of Cleveland was Tyler Huntley, but the practice squad in general, anything shock you about the finalization of that thing?
No, because it's all guys that were at training camp. So it just kind of tells you what they thought. You know, like Harbs just wasn't up there blowing smoke saying that, hey, we like all 90 guys were there. Hey, they liked 53 plus 17. 70 guys are still there. So that's a pretty good analysis there.
Three undrafted rookies made the opening 53-man roster, and John Harbaugh comments on that day. Ravens have always been ahead of the curve with this, but man, three on a team expected to challenge for a Super Bowl.
Well, it's definitely unusual. I mean, I don't know how many times it's really happened, and you're talking about undrafted free agents making a team, especially, you know, a team that's, you know, as highly thought of as this team and this roster is. Also, guys that were in some cases weren't even signed the first go-round, you know, guys that were tryout guys like Keon, or guys that didn't have any signing bonus, you know. That's pretty amazing. And just it goes to me, it goes to the fact that, you know, football, is probably the truest meritocracy in our society. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of meritocracies. Broadway's probably one. You know, you got to be really good to be on Broadway and stuff. But when it comes right down to it, it's what you do on the field.
Hmm. You know what would have been interesting?
Society.
Bob, you know what would have been interesting is if Bonet and Lindebaum Longerbeam didn't get hurt. Because then would those guys have gotten those reps? You know, that would have been interesting. And then all of a sudden, then, you know, you got your linebacker. You have one guy from undrafted guys making it. But, you know, give those guys credit. And they took advantage of injuries is what they did. They took advantage of the situation and they made do. And they deserved it.
And you really didn't get a chance to see where Longerbeam at all.
Not really.
And Kone got hurt in the first preseason game. Would there have been more of a battle for these guys?
Bob, because he had size and length, you know. So I think Kone would have given him a good opportunity. And with Martin and Longerbeam were pretty much similar size, so could have been interesting.
NFL Lunch here on this Total Request Thursday. One of the undrafted free agents to make the team was Jay Higgins IV, who was an All-American at the University of Iowa. Did not do well. Is that a home run? Right?
Yeah, hold on. Povich. Good thing they got the double play, Bob.
1-0 story. Looks like he just went yard. Cannot do real-time play-by-play. Man, I hate the Red Sox. Anyway, so it's 1-0 them. But Higgins... The combine was not his friend.
No, the combine killed him. You know, the combine killed him because, you know, he didn't jump high. He ran 4.82, you know, and he weighed, 224? He was 6 foot tall. So what happened is people forgot. And just like the kid said, you know, you forget about the film and then you're worried about all his jumping and running and, you know, those types of things.
Yeah, he was talking about the broad jumping.
Yeah, all the things that really don't matter if he's a football player or not because, you know, like I was All-American, first team All-American, wasn't I? Yeah.
Well, here's Higgins talking about his reaction to making that 53.
Lightheaded for sure. I was sitting at lunch, actually sitting next to Jake and Lindebaum, and, you know, I was eating my meal and they, you know, got tapped on the shoulder. And as I was walking down the hall, I just felt my heart rate keep rising and rising. Came up the steps, walked in the office, and then saw Eric, and it really start beating. And so I was just lightheaded when he told me. I was so surprised. You know, I knew there were so many talented players, you know, on the roster. You know, we got a lot of those guys back on the practice squad. And so it was just, you know, the numbers for me. So when he told me, I was just, you know, really surprised.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Bob, I mean, you're there on cut down day, okay? And you're eating, and somebody comes, taps you on the shoulder. Because I was that dude. Remember I said it yesterday?
Yeah, you were
there at breakfast. I was the Turk. Hey, can you come see the GM? Yeah, come see Johnny Mac. Yeah, come see Eric. All right, so 99% of the time, Bob, what are you going to do? Hey. Thanks, but no, you know, I appreciate, you know, giving me the opportunity, blah, blah, and then he made it. Oh, that's a pretty big relief for that kid. You know, and the other thing that, you know, was interesting, Bob, what Eric talked about was he got calls on all three of those guys from other teams, you know, wanting to, whether it be trade for them or whatever. Yeah, so that was interesting, too. So that may have played in a little bit, too, but we're not going to be able to get these guys through.
Yeah, congratulations to all three of them, Higgins, Martin, and Lowry, for making the Ravens roster. Now it's all about getting ready for the Buffalo Bills coming up here September 7th. When we come back for the first time to 2025 picks, booze on the line. We'll explain the scenarios here in regards to the prizes. A lot of college because the NFL doesn't start till next Thursday. So stick around for that. And we'll talk real and fantasy football with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, bottom of the hour, Orioles Trail, one zip, bottom of the first.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Camden Yards.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Hard to believe, but we're doing picks. Seemed like only yesterday we were doing our Super Bowl and playoff predictions for the NFL. That's in the rear view. Many, many months. Now a new season is upon us. We'll get to the NFL, obviously, next week. But college football, week one. Week zero was last week. Now we're all about it. Now the booze is on the line. It's Vinny and Haney, 105 Show the Fan, Nolan McGraw, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, and Quick Draw. Mick Ultra is for the old Bobster. Vinny with the Vino, and Nolan with the, you still with the...
I'll ride with it. I'll ride with Yingling.
Well, what, change? Get whatever you want.
I mean, I drink whatever's cold, but, you know, I don't know.
And what's the dollar amount?
So...
It's a 50
for the
right?
Regular season, it's 30 a person.
Yeah.
30 for a case.
Oh.
So if you are the winner, you get 60 in total.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Now it sounds more palatable. Hint.
And then the playoffs was what?
Half of that.
Well, we'll worry about that when we get to it. Right now, it's the regular season. And we'll start with tonight's game. Nebraska at Cincinnati. Minnie Mahomes, Matt Rhule at the Bearcats. Spreads for entertainment purposes only. We're just picking winners. -6.5 in favor of the Huskers.
Well, what is it? Matt Rhule's third year? I think he's expecting a lot more this year. I'm going Huskers.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nebraska as well. You know, what'd you call him? Minnie Mahomes over there?
Yeah.
Raiola. He's playing on the same field as Mahomes. I mean, that's going to be insufferable enough. Him running out of the tunnel, probably copying his mannerisms one for one.
He already does that anyway.
Well, I mean, he's going to think he's in the main character of a movie tonight, and he's going to win, for that matter.
Georgia Tech tomorrow at Colorado. Post Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter for the Buffaloes. Ramblin' Wreck, 4.5-point favorites.
Yeah, Colorado got a lot of new players. New quarterback, like Bob just said. It's the kid from Liberty, you know, not the five-star freshman.
No Liberty Bibberty.
So, you know what? I'm gonna take Dion at home.
I'm going to go with Georgia Tech here. My Colorado hatred will continue.
All right. I don't hate Colorado, but I like Georgia Tech in this game tomorrow night. Saturday, FAU at Maryland Terps, -14.5.
I'm taking the Terps because they got to win.
If they don't win this one, we got a serious problem.
Yes.
Terps.
Yeah, Maryland wins. Insert quarterback here. I wouldn't be surprised if we see all three of them take a snap or two. Texas at Ohio State. Here's the big old game of this week and, you know, a lot of weeks for sure. Buckeyes, 1.5-point favorites over the top-ranked Texas Longhorns.
I'm going to take Texas. I think Texas has got depth. They got a hell of a defense. Ohio State's got new coordinators, new quarterback. Arch Manning's a new quarterback, but he has started games. So I'm going to take Texas in this one.
Yeah, Ohio State seems to be the popular consensus pick here. I mean, they are the home team. There's a lot of reasons to like them, but I just like Texas in this one, and I feel like they might feel a little slighted by being underdogs as a number one team.
Yeah, Ohio State defending national champions, but there has been some tweakage to that offense. I'm going Longhorns. I think they're more at least on August the 20th or 30th when they play the game. They're more complete team than Ohio State is, but hey, they could revisit each other in January. LSU at Clemson. Another Heisman guy, Klubnik, for the Tigers.
Yeah.
4.5.
Clemson. I think, you know,
two Heisman guys.
LSU's replacing four linemen, offensive linemen that went to the NFL, two from the Ravens, and neither one's playing. I'm going to take Clemson at home, figuring that old Kelly can't win the openers.
Yeah, well, Dabo Swinney said he wants to go undefeated this year. Those are his plans. It's going to be spoiled right out the gate. Give me the Tigers.
And we're going to have Burt Jones on the Rusted Rifle a week from today. LSU, grad, College Football Hall of Famer. But I'm leaning Clemson, defending things as the, not a significant point spread. But Brian Kelly, you notice he doesn't talk with that Cajun accent anymore. It's more in profanities and blaming his players for stuff. Alabama's at Florida State. Let's go with Crimson Tide laying 13.5. Who do you like there, Ben?
Yeah, I'm going to take Alabama also. I'm going to take Alabama. They've got a hell of a roster. And I think they have the new offensive coordinator. The guy who was at Washington with the coach, you know. So I think things are more comfortable now at Alabama offensively. I like Alabama.
This is going to be the don't overthink it game of the week, Alabama.
Yeah. FSU, 2 years ago, they were the team that was making a run towards the playoffs. The quarterback got hurt, an injury that ended his career, unfortunately. Yeah, Alabama. But DeBoer, I mean, he better get it together. Not like he's going to lose his job. But, you know,
I think they're going to be good.
They're certainly a playoff-worthy team. We're doing our picks here, college, because there's no NFL to get into. Sunday, Va Tech at South Carolina. Gamecocks laying 7.5.
I like South Carolina. I like the quarterback.
Another Heisman guy.
Yep. And South Carolina at home and Beamer playing against dad's old Va Tech teams. I'll take the Gamecocks.
Yeah, this game going to be played at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta, which means the Chick-fil-A will be closed inside because it's Sunday. Nonetheless, South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sellers. You know, and we like Frank Beamer.
Oh, yeah.
And Shane, you know, it is what it is. But South Carolina, ranked number 13 preseason, they'll get off to the win there, minus the Chick-fil-A. We'll have to settle for hot dogs or something. Notre Dame. At Miami. New quarterback in Miami. Cam Ward's now starting quarterback, number one pick with the Tennessee Titans. Fighting Irish, 2.5-point favorites there. And, you know, it's a renewed rivalry. Both teams with big expectations. Notre Dame's always pretty high. I don't know. This one I'm kind of...
Yeah, CJ Carr on the road at Miami. It's going to be a hostile environment for his first game. I think that's going to be tough. Can the Irish run the football consistently? They got the best run game in the country. So that's going to be what Miami's going to have to do. You know, they're going to have to stop the run. Miami, although new quarterback, veteran quarterback.
Yeah, Carson Beck, yeah.
Veteran quarterback at home, first game out. I'll take Miami.
I'm going to go Notre Dame, always the team that's the most difficult for me to project. I think it was a couple seasons ago. Every time we picked a Notre Dame game, I was wrong, no matter what side of it I was on. So we'll figure out how this goes, but I'm going to go with the Irish out the gate.
No, crystal ball's what? Year three, four with the Hurricanes?
Three.
Carson Beck, you know, he's volatile career so far. Yeah. But like Vinny said, the... young quarterback CJ on the road. I'll go with the Hurricanes to defend their home turf there. And then Monday night, the Hoodie makes his debut at home against TCU, the Horned Frogs. 3.5-point favorites over the Tar Heels.
Yeah. North Carolina's got, what, like 40-some new players on their roster. So I don't know much. Nobody knows anything about them. I'm gonna take TCU. The environment's gonna be nuts with Belichick's first game and all that. Monday night football. You know what? I'll take TCU.
Yeah, I know you got the angst towards old Hoodie there. What do you got there?
I'm going bold prediction. TCU wins. Stinker performance from North Carolina and Bill Belichick's first game as coach. They get booed off the field.
How many times do we see the girlfriend?
Way too many.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Tar Heels. Okay. I don't have a dog in the fight, but you know, I think Tom Brady's not going to be playing in this game, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think.
Yeah, but I'm going to go ahead and give Belichick enough credit that he's had plenty of time to scout TCU, get that roster put together enough that as home dogs, they'll win the opener. Remember, TCU lost to Colorado a couple of years ago when they were a ranked team. So I think Belichick pulls a Deion. It pulls the opening game upset. Now, they might lose their next nine in a row. Who really knows? But they're going to win this Sunday, or Monday night, rather, against the Horned Frogs. When we come back, got fantasy football with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Get some real football talk in with him as well. Gives you some fantasy football advice. Orioles right now trail the Red Sox. Top of the second, one zip. Trevor Story, solo homer. Orioles had a little bit of an uprising there, first and second with one out, and they didn't score.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Four. There you go. Top of the second, trail the Sox, one zip. First and second, two outs for Boston. Trevor Story hit a solo blast in the first. Orioles had first and second, one out in the bottom half against Crochet, and Boston couldn't get one in. So the Orioles trying to avoid the sweep. Birds have lost 6 of 7, and that's just kind of the way it is before they hit the road out to San Francisco and San Diego. But a week from tonight, the NFL season of 2025 begins with the Philadelphia Eagles beginning defense of that Super Bowl title against the Dallas Cowboys, and Micah Parsons laying on stuff without his team-mandated Cowboys gear. His hold-in is not ended like pretty much everyone else's has at this stage. Joining us now to talk real and fantasy football, he's with Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com, and I Want Your Flex. He's our friend and yours. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in, as we do every Thursday, Mike Harmon. Mike, what is up?
Well, we got one more week to go. Yes, college football is back in the pageantry and pomp and circumstance and all that fun stuff. That's great. But we know what it is. It's winning time there in Baltimore. And for the curiosity that is my Chicago Bears, and did Nachos fell Micah Parsons? These are all questions we want answers to.
Oh, he had a tummy ache. That's why he was laying there. I mean, he couldn't have a stomach ache with Cowboy stuff on. I mean, I don't understand. It's not like he was laying there nude. He was wearing clothes in that situation. But since you started that one, because I was going to ask you about Philly and Dallas next week, because I'm a betting standpoint, take Philly laying the 7. I don't know. Dallas is all sorts of zany right now. But how surprised are you, Mike, that it's gotten to this level? It coinciding with the Netflix Cowboys ass-kissing thing that they got going on, for sure. But Jerry Jones, those Super Bowls and those brilliant maneuvers, they're 30 years in the rearview mirror. How has it gotten to this stage with Micah Parsons and Jerry extremely defiant, still trying to show that he's the boss no matter who the player is?
Now, first off, if people are going to give you wheelbarrows of money to go over the positive, most glorious days of your life to where you get to write the story, tell me you're not signing up for that.
Right.
I'll do that for a show that I did last night. Hey, let's talk about how great I was. Come on now. But for Jerry, I think the business of football, right, you've done things this way, the whole way, and should it have been allowed by the PA? No, there should have been a grievance filed at this point. I don't know that there has been. Now there's a fight over what his actual position is, but that's for another time. If we get down the road of franchise tags and all, and you're trying to set pricing and whatever. But for Jerry, I mean, if you're used to the idea of, all right, we have this talk, we have the principles, and then the devil in the details gets worked out, then why would you change? Right? In your business, if it is successful, why do you change? Right? The guy that owns, what's it, Arizona Iced Tea, right? It's 99 cents for that giant ass can. He can charge you more. He doesn't. He just decided he likes it. He's making enough money. Nobody's going broke. He decided that. The rest of the world doesn't operate that way. Likewise, the NFL moved on, but Jerry has not. So it became personal. It gets entrenched. The fact that Mugalletta is the agent, I think, has not been represented nearly enough, except for, well, this guy, this is where I take my flowers and people can line up to kiss my ass and all of this, is the idea of this guy's been contentious with how many, and he was the guy that got over with the Deshaun Watson contract. You're telling me that doesn't stick in the craw of every owner in the National Football League when we're talking about the escalation of guarantees contract to contract? They're in Baltimore. They talked about it at the time that happened. Didn't mention him. They went after Haslam and the ownership group and Barry and those guys for signing the deal, but that was the agent that helped negotiate it. I don't fault him. He got his guy his deal. That's his job. But in the interim, that's where you're going to get a bunch of angst. One guy holding his end of the line, the other pulling the rope at the other, and it's like a game of tug of war. We're trying to figure out where the flag is. I think eventually Jerry just caves and it's, you know, Emmett Smith again, all over again, looking all pissed off, and he signs this monster deal and plays. Otherwise, I kind of hope I've got my popcorn ready, fellas. I want to see Jerry try to hold him to the franchise tag. It's like, hey, your union wanted it. Hey, they got any leaders over there to hold me at any of this?
No. Now, you mentioned the Ravens. Winning time in Baltimore. Orioles, not going to happen for them this year. I don't know if you've been following the standings in the American League East, but
yeah,
the Ravens. Hey, look, we're saying here Super Bowl or bust. John Harbaugh, he does not want to hear that narrative with his team. But let's be honest. I mean, what more do they have to do? The regular season success is well documented. Let me ask you this. If the Ravens, everything's equal, everybody's healthy, the Ravens won't win the Super Bowl because of what reason, Mike Harmon?
Well, I mean, we have to ask the obvious question, right? Can the passing game get it done if Derrick Henry gets slowed down, right? I mean, it's on the arm and leg of Lamar Jackson, right? That's the billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar question out there. It's all that we look for Levi Stadium, right? Josh Allen has the same question. You got two guys in the same part of their careers. Fantastic year-to-year. Dominate regular seasons, right? I mean, I'm out here in Los Angeles. We watched it for a decade. Dodgers win the division. Okay, great. What do you do in October? It's the same question you guys asked there. It's like, okay, we'll get through the regular season. It'll be fine. We're either winning the division or we're well entrenched in a wild card berth. But what happens after that? And I think it all comes back to number eight. Is it fair? No, but let's face it. Life ain't fair.
Hey, Mike, how many games Stafford play this year, you think?
Oh, that is the fantastic question they keep asking out here, because right now they're falling all over themselves to show you all the greatness of Jimmy Garoppolo as best they can, or trading on that preseason game we saw the other day. You know, with, hey, there's a giant effort from your third string. That's all I get. Sean McVay, we trust. They got a great roster. The division is better. Right. It is. San Francisco won't suffer the same amount of injuries. Arizona actually addressed their defense. Go figure. And Seattle, they're going to be good enough. They're like the Raiders in the AFC West. Just good enough to be a pain in the neck. Right. And I don't think Sam Darnold was necessarily the problem at the end of things there in Minnesota. So I think for Stafford and company, like, if just to go back to the original question, I think if you get him for 12, you're feeling good. It's all a matter of, are those 12 in November, December, and beyond? And that with a bacchiotomy, I don't know. But Clayton Kershaw, whatever he's got going on, he just had the best August of anybody in baseball. So since they're buddies, I don't know if you guys knew that. Maybe you should ask him.
Hey, Mike, are you buying Arch Manning Saturday with Texas, or are you taking Ohio State?
I am. Let's see. It's him and my guy, Jensen.
Right.
That we're just going to we're going to have that battle. I love the pageantry of it, and I'm going to say they outperform. Is it a pretty performance? No, but I think they're a good enough team, top to bottom, to get it done. I mean, there's going to be growing pains. Young guy. I mean, but the weight of the world's on his shoulder, and it's fun, right? It's fun to have theater in college football in week one. It's funny, the Pete Puchek, who joins us all the time, collegefootballnews.com, our buddy.
Yeah, we're familiar with him, yes. He doesn't return our phone calls anymore. Tell him we said hey in Baltimore. That's what you're talking about.
I will send him your way, and I'll tell him, say, hey, Pete, come on now. But he, sorry about that. I hit a sore spot there. I send him whiskey every holiday. It's a great relationship.
Yeah, we didn't send him anything.
Or pizza. Well, you know, that's something you got to grease the wheels. But it's the, he goes, I buy him. I don't know that I buy the team altogether, right, to finish the job. Here, I'm just really curious, right? The expectations because of that surname are just so immense. He's faster. But Ohio State's defense will get after him. So is the final stat line going to be great? No, the box score, you'll have much better days a week from now, 4 weeks from now, and by the end of the season, maybe we're having those conversations about number one talk. But I do like that we have that guy that just stands out on his own, right? I mean, what did we have last year? A lot of attention on Colorado, which was going to be a mid team because you had Shador and Travis Hunter. Everything else is like, all right, let's see.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwallowDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. We'll get all detailed fantasy next week, but tell everybody what you have going on today and for over the next 7 days before you rejoin us here in Baltimore.
Lots of yelling, no question about it. Getting back in the lab, the first couple of I Watch Flex podcasts for the 25 season are up and moving wherever you get your audio. Download it, evangelize. I need to feed my families. They're getting ready, and the kids are getting ready for college, and that will not be cheap. So help a brother out. And we're going to do more of that. If you have suggestions for content you'd like to see in that regard, if you're into trading cards, whatever, I mean, I am your man, at Swollen Dome. In all the socials for all of that fun and excitement. So building a community there. Of course, the work with Jason Smith, talking him down off the Mets ledge because he's bought back in because he's young pitchers. It's good for me. And of course, you know, the Sunday work that I do pregame show. We got some cool announcements of how that's going to work during the football season. But it'll bring me to you guys in October. So it's all good things.
All beautiful to hear. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio and beyond. Mike, we'll talk next Thursday. It's all about fantasy football. We're going to pick a winner together. How's that sound?
Thanks, Mike.
Beautiful. Peace and love, guys. Enjoy week one of college. And go get Crochet, because every time he wins, I cry a little bit as a White Sox fan.
I was kind of hoping we would have got him in the offseason, but that's another story altogether. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. We'll come back, go to the Funhouse, and then Inside Access takes over at 2. We'll give you an Orioles score update as well. Next Friday, he's throwing out first pitch, as a matter of fact, to his dad on Saturday.
Cool.
So as we celebrate 30 years, unbelievable, 30 years since Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record. But let's bring Nolan in. First of all, Nolan, Featured Artist Friday, shows about the people.
Well, we're going to go with a suggestion that was actually given to us in person the other day at Pickles. Bad Religion is your featured artist tomorrow.
All right. Thumbs up to Bad Religion.
Well, what do you care? You're not going to be here anyway.
That's correct. Bobster's off for the next 4 days. Full disclosure, I was just taking a four-day weekend. You know what? It's been 6 weeks since I was on vacation.
I've got a home run.
Ajax just went yard off of Crochet.
You got your buy or sell right. No shutout.
Yay! I win nothing. But instead of, you know what? Let's make it a productive Friday instead of laying on my ass. Going to the doctor. They're always fun. Doctor's appointment. Getting a haircut. Much needed. Going to cut my grass. Get that done for the weekend. Going to clean out the man cave. Footballize it. That's a new word. I just made that up. I've coined that. If I hear football eyes on a t-shirt, I will sue you. I'm going to football eyes my basement, and then I'm going to drink. And then drink some more, and then drink a little bit more, and then watch a lot of football and baseball. And
nice.
Squeeze some fights in. There are some fights over in England on the zone. They're always the best ones because they start at like 1, not these 11:30 monstrosities in Vegas where you're half asleep. Wondering who won the next day. So there you go. Thanks for asking.
Same deal for wrestling. They're in Paris on Sunday.
Oh, they are?
Pay-per-view starts at like noon or 1. It's going to be great.
Is that an Espen extravaganza?
No, it's the last one on Peacock.
Okay.
Yep.
And we can get into your beef with that sort of thing. So
it's all water under the bridge now.
Oh, it is.
Now, their issue was when they released all this information, they weren't, you know, forthcoming with how things were going to be priced and who was going to qualify to sign up for ESPN for free. I ended up getting it for free, but that wasn't presented in the initial press release.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So you pumped the brakes on the angst.
I mean, everyone was rightfully upset because it was just presented as, hey, you got to pay $30. And everyone's like, hey, what the hell's going on here?
Cordell will be in for Mini Bar, by the way. What else we got going on? You know, the Funhouse?
Ripping it talking. With Ryan?
No. Ripping it with Ryan tomorrow?
Enough of us. Enough
Quick
of
Draws Funhouse.
Yeah, I'm not
sponsored
talking
by the Smile You're Design Center.
Don't throw it at me.
Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
1057, The Fan.
Start here with this texter. It says, keep the contracts cooking, Eric DaCosta. Let's get Lamar done as soon as possible. Clear up some money for others like Linderbaum. I've still got my eye on Owe getting paid as well.
Oh, if Mike Green has a big year, I don't see that. I just don't know how they can afford to pay Owe if he wants a big deal. You know, like you said, with Linderbaum, with Travis Jones, with Likely, I don't know.
This one here says, got to give credit to Eric DaCosta getting the Hamilton deal done when he did. Let's say he played for the Cowboys instead. Jerry Jones would have waited until the entire end of his contract, tried to go around the agent, told the press how great his offer was while pissing off the player, and end up paying about $10 million more in the long run. So thankful for DaCosta.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about it? It's kind of a similar situation because they're both the number one players at their position. So, I mean, all right, I'll take the highest guy and, you know, I'll give you a little bit more than that. How hard can that be?
Over to the Orioles, this texter here says, I have no problem with Holiday continuing to bat leadoff. To be honest, he just needs all the at-bats he can get at this point in his career. I hear former players all the time say how a player isn't a real major leaguer until they have a certain amount of at-bats under their belt. Let's let them rack them up now because it's a learning experience, good or bad.
Well, the former player we had on earlier, Mike Bordick, disagrees not necessarily with not getting the at-bats, but putting him in the leadoff spot where right now he's just flailing away. So if anything, his numbers are decreasing dramatically, and maybe the competence gets shaken. You'd rather see him end 2025 on a high note instead of hitting a .150 for the last 2 months. He's hitting a .46 in August.
And he's 0 for 2 already.
That's bad, bad, bad.
We're talking backup quarterback for the Ravens. Here's a bit of a hot take. Texter says, I'd rather see Tyler Huntley as the Ravens' backup over Cooper Rush. Similar play style to Lamar, where he can actually move if needed. Rush is a statue, and the playbook changes drastically if they go to him.
I think they're comfortable with what Rush could do for them if he's got to play for a game or two. He did it in Dallas, you know, so, and they've got enough weapons and they've got an O-line, so if they, you know, they got to run it and do play action pass and get it to the people, I think they'll be fine. I mean, there's a reason why they cut Huntley, too.
And last text of the day comes from Bill in Haverty Grace. Says, another Oriole season winding down. I'm tired of the questionable decisions by everyone involved. It's time to get a real baseball guy here who can actually put together a real front office, hire a real manager, and restore the Oriole way.
Well, you come up with some suggestions, and we'll be listening to that when we get back in a couple of weeks, me and Nolan anyway. I'm out tomorrow. Cordell's in. Vinny, have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too. Have a good 4 days.
Oh, yeah. I'll remember maybe one and a half of them. Nolan, I'll see you in a couple of weeks because you're off next week. Look at you. Don't forget to get your picks in, by the way, because we're doing that next week, too. Hey, Mike Pope will talk to you, next week? Because that's right. I keep forgetting I'm off tomorrow. Even though I keep saying it, I'm off tomorrow. Mike, we'll see you next week. I'm done. Inside Access coming up next for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you when we talk. Get for now, classmates.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.